having many of our missionaries that we support be with us, I'd like to take time now just to thank Carol Mallory, who serves with JARS, for coming out. Also, Stephen McCracken, who is with HCJB Global, and Jeff Geske, who serves with United World Mission. I do want to encourage you, following the service, as you go out into the foyer, you're going to see that there are various booths set up. Many of them are representing their missions agencies today. You can get to know them a little bit better, as well as some of the work that they're doing. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Robert Brock to come up. He serves with Voice of the Martyrs. You will also see a kiosk out there where you can get more information on their ministry. Robert has served, he comes by way of living in Indiana. He has served with Voice of the Martyrs for the last 13 years, or pardon me, since 1993, a little bit longer than that. And just like to invite him to come up right now. Glad to have you with us today.
All right, let's start off with a word of prayer, if we may. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day, for life and health you've given us. I thank you for this time together, and I ask and pray that you put a guard over my mouth and over my lips, that only the things you'd have for me to say would come out, and that your name would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. My goal this morning is to be able to effectively communicate the plight of the persecuted church around the world. I'll do that with a PowerPoint presentation. I've taken many of the pictures myself, obviously not all of them. Pastor said we could have a good time, so if it's funny, you can laugh. If it's sad, you can cry. The goal is to be able to communicate what's going on around the world. For you note takers out there, there are three points I want us to remember from our time together, and I'll say this multiple times. The body of Christ still suffers today. We are to remember them, and as we serve them, they serve us even more. There's a real simple acrostic, TWA. If you remember the old airline, it's a real easy way to remember that. The TWA airline, that's what I want you to remember from our time together this morning. My name is Robert Brock. I'm with the Voice of the Martyrs. I'm from a small town in Indiana. Basically, I have one wife, three boys, a dog, and a house. All right, all of my boys are taller, better looking, and smarter than I am. And when I left home, it was really cold and snowy. I mean, it was really, really deep and bitter. And we live out in the woods. And this last week or so, I walked outside and I heard this little chattering noise. And I looked up in the tree and there was a squirrel there. And he had this nut and he was just chomping away on that thing and making this horrendous noise. And in the fall time, they dig holes in my yard, and they gather the fruit together and nuts together, and at time of plenty, they save it up, they bury it for the winter time, like now, when there's not much to eat, when it's very, very difficult to find food. And he had that thing clutched in his paws, and I'll tell you what, he was chewing the hard outside to get to the meat on the inside. And I just thought that was really, really cool. I'm with the Voice of the Martyrs. I've been to many countries around the world, Pakistan, Vietnam, Sudan, China, Iran, Indonesia, Laos, Burma, Thailand, all sorts of different places. But one of my functions is to speak in churches just like yours and make awareness about the persecuted church around the world. And the word martyr in the New Testament actually means witness. And in our newsletter, we define a Christian martyr as one who chooses to suffer death rather than to deny Christ or his work, or someone who sacrifices something very important to further the kingdom of God, or someone who endures great suffering for his Christian witness. This morning, I want us to remember that the body of Christ still suffers today, that we are to remember them, Hebrews 13:3, and as we serve them, they serve us even more. For you see, more Christians have been killed for their faith in the 20th century than in all other centuries combined. Some estimates say that over 175,000 Christians are killed every year for their faith in over 40 countries around the world. 200 million Christians now face intense persecution for their faith. Hundreds of churches have been destroyed. In China and Vietnam, house churches are raided and members are beaten and tortured with all of their Christian literature confiscated. In North Korea, owning a Bible results in imprisonment and or even death. In Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and yes, even Egypt, converting from Islam to Christianity may cost you your house, your home, your family, your health, possibly even your life. In Bangladesh, children are chained and forced to memorize the Quran. In Sudan, nearly 2 million people have perished in a war between the north and the south. In Eritrea, Christians are held captive in containers as punishment. The point is, even today, Christians are still being beaten, tortured, imprisoned, and yes, even killed for their faith. It's the common lot of the body of Christ. And Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And Corinthians says that when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. For you see, we are part of them and they are part of us, that mysterious worldwide bride of Christ. Our founder, Pastor Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, they're Romanians who became Christians. And Pastor Wormbrand actually spent over 14 years in prison for his faith. His wife, Sabina, spent over 3 years in prison for her faith. And they were ransomed to the West, and he wrote the book Tortured for Christ about his time in prison. And we exist as a mission to serve the persecuted church through practical and spiritual assistance while leading Christians in the free world into fellowship with them. Basically, we smuggle Bibles, Christian literature, provide aid and relief to persecuted Christians around the world. And we work mainly throughout what's called the 1040 window. You guys are familiar with that. Northern rim of Africa on into the Middle East, Asia, and China. It is where the poorest of the poor, it's where the least evangelized, it's where the least number of missionaries go and least number of mission dollars go there. And yet it is the bastion, the stronghold of communism, Islam, and Hinduism. It is one of the hardest places in the world to work because if you share with the wrong person, it may cost you your very life. We also put out a free newsletter, it looks like this, with names, places, photos, dates, stories of courageous faith. I have some on the table in the foyer. They're free for the taking. If you want to get it on a monthly basis, you can take the little white card or yellow card and sign up. It does not cost you anything. excuse me. We do have a newsletter for kids also, and I do have some books and tapes and videos on the table. The whole goal is to be able to help you more intelligently and effectively pray for the persecuted church around the world. Because the fact is that the body of Christ still suffers today, that we are to remember them, and as we serve them, they serve us even more. Point number two, we're to remember them, Hebrews 13:3. Our theme verse. Remember those in prison as if you're their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. There's a biblical mandate for what we're doing. Now, how many times have you ever heard wonderful sermons about the Apostle Paul and how great he was and how we should emulate him and follow in his footsteps? This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. He says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships that we endured in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, and on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us with your prayers." Wow, Paul's saying, it was so hard, it was so tough, it was so difficult. I didn't think I could make it, and the only way I made it was you Corinthians praying for me. That's how desperately the persecuted church needs your prayers this morning, my friends. Now here comes the hard part. I'm from Indiana. I didn't understand what Paul meant in Galatians 6:17 where he says, "For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." Until I met that man in Sudan and took that picture. And when I met him, the Apostle Paul came to mind. For you see, my friends, the scars on Paul's back didn't go away in a day, a week, an hour, a month, or a year. But he wore them for the rest of his life. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24-28, Paul says, "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked." Now, how do you understand what Paul meant when he said, "It was so hard"? And if you think that's strange, let me remind you of Philippians 1:29. "For it has been granted unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, Think about it, my friends. What happened to the disciples when they followed Jesus? Did they become healthy, wealthy, prosperous with new cars, houses, lands, businesses? No, tradition tells us that they were stabbed, they were stoned, they were speared, they were crucified upside down, and they were beheaded for their faith. You see, it was costly to follow him then, and in many countries around the world, it's costly to follow him today. Then Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 to 38. Some faced jeers and floggings, while others were chained, they were put in prison, they were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and the world was not worthy of them. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and in holes in the ground. Just like the holes in the ground we saw in Sudan where children were hiding when the bombers would come. Then Acts 12:2-5, Herod, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. But Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You remember that story. One was killed, another was put in prison. The church gathered together and they prayed, and God miraculously opened the jail cell door. You see, God hears and answers the prayers of his people. That's why on the table in the foyer, I've got a free sheet of paper on how to pray for the persecuted church. A free tool for you. 3 months ago, in December, I was in Colombia. Very, very dangerous, dangerous place. Beautiful cities by day, but at nighttime, it's a very, very dangerous place. We went to the Bella Vista prison where we met with these guys. This guy is a former hitman for Pablo Escobar. He's a corrupt policeman. They told us how there were days, weeks on end, where they would kill someone every day. Every day. They ended up in prison, but a prison ministry, they came to know the Lord and it changed their life. And now they return back into that prison to minister to fellow prisoners. And it is very, very dangerous. And the countryside is beautiful. But the problem is the FARC guerrillas and the drug dealers and the ELN and all sorts of groups rule the countryside. They come and wipe out small villages, and what it does, it puts thousands of nameless, faceless children on the edges of the big cities. We were able to help fund a place where children could get food. And we provided, this year, Christmas Care was our project, and we provided booklets and needed materials for local churches, as you can see there, because Jesus loves the little children. And we partner with a guy down there. He's kind of a crazy guy. His name is Martin, and he has this airplane. It's called the Pink Panther airplane. And what he does, he parachutes to the gorillas, okay? That's what we're kind of holding up, some parachutes, some books, all right? To the gorillas out in the jungle, all right? The Camouflage New Testament. If you're a gorilla, you don't have TV and all that kind of stuff. So the Camouflage New Testament, that's kind of cool. And there was a book in here by James Dobson, When God Doesn't Make Sense. He said he flew over a village and dropped in, and he got a report back that one of these packets hit a guy on the head, and he looked up and When God Doesn't Make Sense. You know, kind of a crazy deal there. And then he's got a radio station. It may be some of the HCJB stuff. I don't know. I'm not sure. But he's got a radio station. If you have a radio station, what people listen, okay? Well, to get the gorillas to listen, what they do in that packet, there's this, it's called the Galcom radio. It's a little solar-powered radio. You don't need batteries for it, okay? Maybe you could get one of those mics like this. You know, that would be a good deal. Anyway, it's got two stations in it, okay? It's got a Christian station. And then the other one's a Christian station, too. So it's got two of them, all right? That's all they can get, you know? And the soldiers like it, too, and they really eat that up. So then we met with Pastor Diego Mendoza. He took a rural, small church of 18 people and did an excellent job and included like 180 people. The problem was when drug dealers stopped doing drugs and when bad people stopped being bad, those that they deal with become angry. And they took him and they kidnapped him and his wife and they brutally abused her in front of him over and over and over again. And he put a gun to his head. And he could do nothing about it. And they told him to stop. And he said they finally pulled the trigger, and the bullet didn't come out. They pulled the trigger again, and the bullet still didn't come out. And they finally released them and told them to stop their ministry. He said later that a guy came back and told him, he says, I want to know this God who stops the bullets from coming out in the ends of guns. And it was hard. This is 3 months ago. It was hard. He saw his wife brutally abused in front of his eyes, and he could do nothing. He had a choice to make. He had two paths. That one, that one. Do I quit or continue on? They're threatening my family. What do I do? That's why the Voice of the Martyrs has a pastor support program to help pastors that are in desperate need. Then Luz, she's pregnant with twins. Her husband, Pastor Luis Carlos, was murdered 15 days after he took on his new church. It was such a big deal, it made the papers. They cut his body up into 30 pieces and sent it to them. They can't even stop. Her life has come to an abrupt halt because of the death of her husband. All her hopes, all her plans, all her dreams come to a stop. It was hard. It was hard. She didn't know which direction to go. Her life has forever been altered. Where do I go? What do I do now? We were able to pray with her. And she's got word that she had those twins and they're healthy. And we ask her, how do you survive? How do you handle all this? And she says, I run to the Word of God. She had her Bible with her and she picked that up like that. It reminded me of when I walked out that door and I looked up in that tree and I heard that chatter and I saw that squirrel that was clutching the nut that he had buried months before. And he was chewing through the hard outer shell to get to the meat for nourishment. Have you hidden the Word of God away in your heart so when difficult times come, you're able to survive? When hard times come, do you run to the Word of God and go past that outer shell of casual reading your Bible to get to the meat so you can find nourishment? That's why we have the Families of Martyrs Fund to help widows and orphans in their time of need. Because you see, if we don't help them, who will? If we don't remember them, who will? Because they are the part of the body of Christ. Point number three. As we serve them, they serve us even more. As modern day examples, they tend to keep us from that tremendous tug and pull of lukewarmness. Very simply, it brings perspective to our lives. I want to take you to India quickly now. So many of the lower class Dalits are becoming Christians that the radical Hindus are becoming furious about that. And I met with Pastor Aaron, and he said how man, I went to pass out these tracts, and these guys came and they beat me and they took my tracts and they burned them in front of me and all this. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I've heard lots of stories like that. And then he whipped out the little computer chip. He said, yeah, you know what? It caused such a big stir. The local television station came and got video of it. Excuse me. This is Pastor Aaron right here. Those are his tracks. He said they took his tracts and they mocked him to his face. It reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Calvary, where it says he was beaten and he was mocked and he was spat upon. You see, the road to Calvary was not an easy one. You see, my friends, this isn't a joke. I'm here to tell you. The body of Christ still suffers today. And that we are to remember them, Hebrews 13:3. And as we serve them, they serve us even more. The good news is he survived. He's not turned back. He has enduring faith. Those are the kind of pastors that the voice of the martyrs helps. Then we go to Indonesia, largest Islamic country in the world. More Muslims there than anywhere else in the world. Again, complicated issue. It's legal to be a Christian. There are many churches in the big cities, but in the outer islands, the radical Islamic group, the Lashkar Jihad and others, they've destroyed between 800 and 1,000 churches in the last number of years. We bought tickets one afternoon to go to Central Sulawesi. That very evening, the Maranatha Christian School was bombed. We found a place that had artificial... we were able to pray for Thaddeus, who was injured the night before we got there, and Armand, who lost his foot, and he said, God is using this to draw me closer to the Lord. And Pindongo, who was a bus driver, a Christian bus driver, and what he thought was luggage outside the bus wasn't. It was a bomb, and it blew up all of his hands, nearly blinded him, and destroyed his leg. We're able to pray with him and his family. For you see, he's permanently disabled. Found a place that had artificial limbs for him. For you see, if we don't help him, who will? If we don't remember them, who will? Because you're not going to see this on your local nightly CNN news, because it's about persecuted Christians. And yet he continues on. He has enduring faith. Then Dr. Rebecca, she was a Sunday school teacher, and she was a very good Sunday school teacher. And what happened was her students invited others to come. They got permission from the parents, and they went on an outing. And when they came back, the Muslims were furious because several of those students were Muslim students, and they accused her of trying to convert Muslim students to Christianity, and they sentenced them to 3 years in prison. 3 years in prison for being a good Sunday school teacher. And some folks actually got video of her trial. They actually brought coffins because they were planning on killing them. They brought coffins to bury them. It reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ when they brought him before Pilate, and Pilate said, "I find no fault in him," and yet the crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" You see, this isn't a joke. We're in a spiritual battle. And the body of Christ still suffers today. We are to remember them, Hebrews 13:3, and as we serve them, they serve us even more. The good news is we put their name and face in our newsletter. Thousands of people prayed for them. They got thousands of letters. They granted them tremendous amount of freedom there. And just last fall, they were unexpectedly released one whole year early because of the prayers and letters from folks like you. Amen? Amen. That's how it's supposed to work. That's why I encourage you. Sign up and get the newsletter. Because it's good for you. Pastor Warren Brand spent 14 years in prison for his faith. He ended up leading the killer of his wife's family to the Lord in his own home. And I'm not here to get a gazillion dollars this morning. I'll take it if you give it. We could use it. There's a box out there, okay? But I am here for something far more important. I'm here to ask you, is there anything imprisoning you? For how many of us have not been abused, either physically, verbally, emotionally? How many of us have not been lied to, stolen from, ripped off, taken advantage of by family members, friends, spouses, former spouses, schoolmates, fellow workers, teachers, coaches? How many of us have ever been killed in church? You go to church, you open yourself up, you do the best you can, and it's like, stabbed in the back. And it hurts, doesn't it? Hurts. I took this picture in the Middle East. There are three people behind those bars. I would like for you to identify with them. This morning, if there's a person, place, or situation in your life right now, and they came, they stood right here, you had to look them straight in the face, you'd immediately experience bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, resentment, and unforgiveness. I suggest you're still in prison. And it's hindering your spiritual growth. And we're going to deal with that in a moment. Is there conflict in your life this morning, or is it well with your soul? You know, you're a good-looking group. The men are handsome, the women are beautiful, and the kids look great. You look like a fantastic church. But I'd venture to say if I sat down with some of you, you may be struggling with discouragement or disappointment, or some of you may be even struggling with sin. Oh, you look good on the outside. You come to church three times a week and come to all the meetings and that kind of stuff. But when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, it's like, bang! It didn't go away, did it? A wayward spouse, a wayward child, loss of a job, financial difficulties, habits, internet, struggles. For some of you, the path to life this year is filled with great promise. Man, the Giants won the Super Bowl. Yeah, all right, that's a good deal. But for some of you, it may be a long, hard, dry, difficult desert filled with pain, sorrow, suffering, illness, death, setback. You know, folks, I'm here to tell you that just because you're Christian, there are no guarantees that bad things can't happen to you. No guarantees. This is a Holy Spirit thing right now. You know what? You need to... I don't even know what his name is. Young man that spoke last night that works in Central Asia. You need to pray for God's protection and angels to surround them, because that is a very dangerous mission that he's doing. You need to pray for safety for that couple. Sometimes life's tough. And sometimes we go to God and it seems like the doors to heaven are locked and you can't find the key. You ever been there? Silence. Some of you may be facing the most difficult choices of your life, financially, relationship-wise. Some of you may need to make some big changes in your life. And it's tough. I took this picture in southern Indiana. There's a sign alongside the road that says, "Time's running out, today is the day of salvation." I thought it was a cool picture. But it's not, is it? It's kind of blurry, fuzzy, out of focus, duh. I turn on the flash of the camera. You know what happened? It's like, boink. Whoa, look at that deal. Huh? You know, it's amazing what a little light will do. Have you ever been reading your Bible or listening to one of his sermons and you didn't quite get it? You know, and about noontime, all of a sudden it's like, boink. Wow, now I get it. You know what that's called? That's called the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Once I was blind, but now I see that Jesus Christ died for me. And this morning, my friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at the end of the service, I beg you to run to the front and talk with one of the pastors, because time is running out and today is the day of salvation and you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And if you play in church and you're not serious, you need to get serious and come and talk to them, because time is short. And the question is, who will pay for your sin? Is it going to be you or somebody else? The good news is this, that all of our sin has been nailed to the cross and it has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's the gospel message. That's what people will give their lives for instead of turning back. And we fuss about the color of the carpet, price of piano, design on the drapes, and pastor's hairdo. You got nice hair, okay? Foolishness, is it not? Foolishness. John 16:33 says this, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Because in this world you're going to have trouble. "But take heart, for I have overcome the world," because we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, and we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance that race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You see, there was suffering before glory. And one of the problems I have, personal problem here, maybe perhaps you have it too, is to stop running that reel of remembrance of the wrongs that have been committed against me. You ever driving down the road, you start thinking about how you got stuck big time, or how that person hurt you, and the farther you grow, the farther you drive, the faster you go, because you're getting madder and madder. Sometimes we just need to stop. And we need to take those things to the cross. Because the message of the persecuted church is one of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiving your enemies. This morning, my friends, how far will you go with me? I'm not asking you to give your life. I'm asking you to consider signing up and getting the newsletter and praying for the persecuted church. I'm asking you to consider going before the maker of the universe and giving him permission to show you, is there a person, place, or situation where you hold bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, resentment, and unforgiveness? Will you take a risk? Say, "Lord, show me." Because we're all good at stuffing, aren't we? We're all good at stuffing it. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we acknowledge you're our maker, our creator, our redeemer, and our friend. And Lord, we give you permission right now. We acknowledge that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we acknowledge that, and yet in the busyness of life, we get dirtied up with bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, resentment, and unforgiveness. Lord, we give you permission to search our hearts and minds and show us. And this morning, we renounce our right for revenge, and we ask that you grant us the grace to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And we lay it at the foot of your cross. Lord, we remember the persecuted church in Pakistan, Vietnam, Sudan, China, Iran, Indonesia. That you would open a jail cell door, that you would stop a beating. You would help those in Colombia that I met just a couple months ago. I pray for safety and wisdom, guidance and understanding for the staff of this church. Your angels would surround and protect it and keep it safe. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody look up here. Now, I don't know where in the world he's going to send you. I don't know how he's going to use you, but I do know this. We serve a risen Savior. He's not dead and he's not in the grave, and therefore we can rejoice. We can rejoice, my friends, and I'm not here to get you to feel guilty, okay? This isn't a guilt trip. I'm here to help you to be thankful for how God has blessed us. You have a beautiful building and a wonderful staff, and you have freedom to meet together anytime you would like. And the next time you walk outside and you see the contrails of the airplanes, I want you to remember the acrostic TWA. The body of Christ still suffers today. We are to remember them, and as we serve them, they serve us even more. Join me at the table. Sign up for the newsletter. Put your faith in action. What can you do? If you need help, come talk to the pastor. Then you can sign up for the newsletter. You can pray. And there's a box out there that you can give. Because bottom line is, we win.